Most, if not all, of the companies I see work on too many things, and they don't dare to say no. Psychological safety becomes the core currency in leadership. We as leaders should learn with AI, not against it. Cut the crap together. Remove the lowest value adding work. Hello and welcome to today's Lightwolf podcast, your podcast for leading with impact. 2025 has been one of the most challenging years ever for many leaders, maybe also for you. More results in less time, more transformation all at once. High pressure, high uncertainty, high volatility, frequent fatigue, and at the same time, an enormous need for orientation and clarity. Me too. I had moments in 2025 that challenged me and that changed me as a coach, as an entrepreneur, and as a human being. In this episode today, I share with you three different things. First, I'd like to share my observations on what the year 2025 has shown us all about good leadership. Then, I just share some ideas what you may want to consider doing differently in 2026 to lead with impact. And finally, I'd like to share what I personally learned this year and what I want to change next year in the way I lead and in the way I live. What shaped the world? What shaped the leadership world in 2025? Let's start with a few of the key trends. One trend I see, I entitle the overload spiral. Pressure, speed, expectations, chaos. Many of our clients need more with less. They need more results with less resources. That's possible, but it's almost impossible without prioritization, without focus, without thinking, without planning. Leaders in constant fire. Email overload, meeting overload, transformation overload. Being busy instead of being effective. And one of the things I observe with clients is change fatigue. More and more employees feel tired, insecure, they lack orientation. People are exhausted. From senior leaders to frontline teams, employees feel tired, some even burned out by too many change programs without real change management. Just this morning, our colleagues from McKinsey published the average employee now experiences 10 planned change initiatives per year. That is a 5-fold increase over 10 years ago. So it's 5 times as many transformations as 10 years ago. Now, I personally believe, I'm convinced it's possible. Like everything in leadership, it may not be easy. It's definitely not easy, but it's possible. Still, in many companies we see, many employees feel insecure about the future. Meanwhile, engagement and well-being measures are diminishing. Support for change initiatives has been dropped. And employees feel increasingly disconnected from their leaders. Therefore, I think you and me and the leaders around us, in your business and in mine, we should try and help our people, help create orientation and foster engagement, not just compliance. Up front, 4 tips for you, and then we go into many, many more thoughts. 4 tips. Number 1, expect change daily and prepare yourself for it. Reminds me of a wonderful moment I had with a gentleman close to my heart. His name is Frank. Frank Colmar. Warm regards out now over to Montreal, Canada, who once, in a conversation a few years ago, shared with me about another company in a very interesting environment. He said, you know, Stefan, one thing you need to understand when you work in a company like ours, strategy is always obsolete. Yes, we agreed it last night, but that won't prevent us from redebating it this morning. Unquote, Frank Colmar, Montreal. Hello, Frank. And at the time that, Frank, when was it? 5 years ago? I probably laughed. We both laughed about it. Today, I think that's the new reality. We can't take anything to be granted and certain forever, even for a day. We would like it. We would like it. But we shouldn't bank on it. I think we should bank on the opposite. Expect change daily and prepare for it. And then see the chance in change as much as you can. Second point, essentialism. Another friend of mine, Barry de Kwan, director, International School of Zug in Lucerne, a fantastic school. Warm regards to Barry. Years ago, introduced into my life a great thought, a great book, and a great author. The thought is called essentialism. It's the disciplined pursuit of less rather than the undisciplined pursuit of ever more. This thought is a profound helper to deal with overload, to get clear in chaos, to feel more confident when surrounded by uncertainty. If this thought is interesting to you, then I first recommend Lightwolf podcast episode number 456. It's just 9 months ago that I had the pleasure of interviewing Greg McKeon, the author of Essentialism, a brilliant book and a great conversation. We planned an hour and it turned out to be 2 hours. Thank you, Greg, for all your time and all your wisdom and this conversation on eye level that I know thousands of podcast listeners here on Lightwolf Podcast thoroughly enjoyed. Number three, another tip that was born in 2025. The four magic D's against overload. They originate from the Norwegian army. And I just picked it up somewhere. Yeah, we have a wonderful Norwegian client over in Oslo. I have a good old friend who worked with me way back then in our first company, a great finance manager who is Norwegian. And somewhere from there came those four magic D's. And I picked them up and I turned them into a leadership tool. Why? Because they are very closely related to some of the biggest self-made problems I see in leaders. Doing too much yourself, delivering too much quality, getting everything done now, and never saying no. That's why we sometimes get ourselves into trouble. The best and most effective leaders I've ever seen, those women and men who master leadership, are great at doing the opposite. And I think we all need to learn how to do the opposite, and we need to do it more and better and faster as of now going forward. And those four magic D's are called delegate, diminish, delay, destroy. What does that mean? My team and I, we have worked with more than 11,000 leaders over the last 16 years in transforming companies and transforming teams and leaders. More than 9 out of 10 realize in working with us that they are not delegating enough responsibility to others. 1 in 10 delegates enough. 9 out of 10 don't delegate enough. On average, they could free up 10 to 30%, sometimes up to 80% of their own work capacity by delegating more and sometimes much more. So the first magic D against overload is delegate. And do it with insight, do it with care, do it with clarity. It's not just dumping work on your people, it's delegating effectively. And you will see, if you do it effectively, your people will be more motivated and more productive as a result, even if you give them more responsibility. Second D, downsize. Why? Because of two problems I often observe in leaders. Problem one, perfection. Trying to get things done perfectly, at least 99% quality level, if not more. However, while there are a few areas in business where these high levels of quality and almost certainty are necessary, when in a bank you need to comply with your regulator, when in a factory you need human safety directly at a big machine that's non-negotiable. In these areas, I'm with you. We need high levels of quality and safety. However, in many other areas of business life, 80% or 85% of quality requirement is good enough or more than good enough. But still, people go for perfection. People prefer to deliver everything, even if clients are not ready to value this or pay for this. And they sometimes overlook that it only takes some time, it may take half the time to get from 0 to 85% quality. But it takes another time, the same time you double your time invest if you go from 85% to 99% quality. And it's just waste. They are wasting half of their time. Well-intended, but ineffective. So the second thing is diminish. Diminish tasks to the right level of quality. Ask yourself, how good is good enough? Define what is good enough, and then deliver what is good enough. No more. Then move on. Third D, delay. No, not everything needs to be done now. Not everything needs to be completed today. Many things may be, but not everything. And if you feel you're overloaded and you can't deliver quality, then take control of your life, take control of your time, and then think and have a conversation with the customer of your work and ask, dear X, would it be okay if that part of the work would be delivered an hour later, a day later, or a week later? Not a guarantee that it works all the time, but an invitation to try, and you might get surprised. Because more often than we think, there is no problem in delaying a certain piece of work a bit or a bit more, as long as we avoid surprises for the receiving customer. We should never surprise our customers, particularly not our bosses. But more often than we think, we have the opportunity to use the third of the magic D's, delay. And arguably the most unutilized word in the corporate world today is the word no, to stop doing things. Just the other day, my client and friend Alexandre Grelier announced again on LinkedIn, reminded me again of his quote, stop starting, start finishing. Then I read probably 20 good books this year. One of the best ones about success of CEOs contained a statement that resonated with me. And here is the quote. All companies work on too many things. Let me repeat. All companies work on too many things, unquote. And I agree with it. I've never seen a company that doesn't do enough. Most, if not all, of the companies I see do work on too many things. And they don't dare to say no. Yeah? They don't dare to destroy work just because it was begun. Every stream of work that's begun is begun well-intended. But not everything that's well-intended will create more value than cost over time. So we have to have the courage to also say no and destroy projects as soon as they prove that they are good, but that there are better alternatives. So we should have the courage to use those four magic D's: delegate, diminish, delay, and destroy. If you want to go deeper and get more inspiration, please listen to Lightwolf episode 463 for more. And then the fourth big tip I'd like to share comes from my longest ever boss, a man for whom I would walk through fire. His name is David Taylor. He worked for Procter & Gamble for 42 years. He was my direct boss for 3 over in Geneva. And in the last 7 years, he was CEO and chairman of the board of Procter & Gamble worldwide. And this year, he said a sentence that stuck probably with everyone around him. And he had 500 people live in front of him when he said the sentence. And he might have been seen now thousands of times because the video went viral. His quote was, "You cannot give certainty, but you can give clarity," unquote. And again, if you'd like to dive deeper into his thought, into his exchange with another terrific leader, Daniel Dippold, CEO of Evor, please listen in to episode number 480. So these are trends from this year. Trends that all relate to the overload spiral: pressure, speed, expectations, and chaos, and how to deal with that. Another trend I'm seeing this year, 2025, is that psychological safety becomes the core currency in leadership. Teams perform better with trust. Teams perform better with openness, with a healthy error and learning culture. In my life, in my experience, the person who nailed this concept the best is Amy Edmondson. Amy Edmondson, professor in Harvard, in Stanford. I've seen a couple of videos. I read her concepts. Just an amazing author, leader, teacher, and woman. Sheer luck has it that I know someone who works with her, and I've already placed a kind request whether maybe Amy could be my guest here in the Lightwolf Leadership Podcast sometime in 2026. Keep fingers crossed that she comes over. If she does, it's going to be a magnificent conversation. I can promise this already up front. Why? Because in too many environments, there is fear. In too many companies, there is pressure and push, and fear is tolerated. While in high-performing environments, for example, in Google, the key factor that distinguishes lower performing teams at Google from high performing teams at Google is called psychological safety, which is the exact opposite of fear, right? Psychological safety in simple terms means you create an environment where everyone at every moment can be who they are and say what they think without ever being excluded or isolated or diminished in any form or fashion. even if I were to tell you now the Earth is flat, right? Of course, it's crazy. It's proven wrong. But even if I said so, in a psychologically safe environment, you wouldn't laugh at me. You might just scratch your head. But you would give me the benefit of the doubt and maybe ask me, hey, Stefan, you're the first person in my life who says that. Why don't you explain to me why you think Mother Earth is a flat planet? That's one stupid example, but maybe clear example of what psychological safety means. And studies confirmed once again that teams with high psychological safety are 30 to 40% more productive than teams where it's absent. Yeah? Trust is simply more powerful than control. Amy knows it. Amy preaches it. And maybe next year I can meet Amy. Let's see. One of the examples from my practical work I'd like to share is on the speed of trust. The moment I'm going to share now is from a major good to great program that is our experience that we are creating data-based, structured and sustained for groups who aren't a team at all to develop into teams and for teams who already are teams and working with each other to become high-performing teams. High-performing teams are not working with each other. In high-performing teams, team members are working for each other. So that's the program we ran with the top 35 leaders of a company with 7,000 employees. We met in a football stadium in northern Germany. Kalt. 2.5 days. Millantor St. Pauli. 35 senior leaders, 17 countries, and those people were leading 7,000 employees. In the room, of course, the CEO and the CFO. And both of those wonderful men, in their intros, shared clearly with professionalism who they are and what they stand for and what they expect from themselves and from everyone else in the room. Then the moment came. Both shared openly what they cannot do themselves. Both shared openly where they need their team's help. And the fact that they've done it and the way how they've done it, with their hands wide open, speaking from their hearts, not from their minds, gave me, as their external consultant and trainer and coach, an absolute home run after just 15 minutes of a 2.5 days workshop. I couldn't have asked them for more than what they've done. They were so clear, so professional, but also so human and so vulnerable that it just opened doors. We had a home run. We had 2.5 days of exciting collaboration, really unleashing desire, agile cooperation, communication. A terrific workshop over in St. Pauli in the Millantor. And if you, Gernot and Christian, are listening now, then I just sent you my warmest regards over to Hamburg. That is a moment that I will never forget. Because the role of leaders is not to install fear with a burning platform, but to spark energy, to unleash energy, to unleash a burning desire, the desire to grow and perform. I see this every time, everywhere. Wherever leaders manage to do that, there is fun, there is energy, there is volatility, there is agility, there is learning, there is development, there is growth. I find it inspiring. And I think it holds a lesson for you and me, definitely for me. It reminds me of the power of purpose. It reminds me of being human as a leader. Make the purpose clear, because a strong why can sustain any how. Another trend I've seen in 2025 is about AI. Back in February 2020, together with six great partners, I co-founded an AI company, the NewNow Group, in Frankfurt and Vienna. And at the time, AI was already present, often without many of us realizing it, that when face recognition is on your smartphone, that was AI. When we were using text programs that started a sentence and completed the sentence for us, that was AI. Or we had an autocorrect program running that corrected our spelling mistakes as we were typing. That was AI. And many, many more. So AI has been around for a long time. However, I think the arrival of ChatGPT in the public, a technology that was adopted faster than any other technology before it. I think it took landline telephone 100 years. No, excuse me. Let me correct that. It took landline telephones 76 years to get to 100 million users. It took ChatGPT 3 months or less to get to 100 million users. As far as I can see, the fastest ever tech adoption speed we've seen so far. Yet probably soon there is something that's adopted faster. But that will change the world. AI will change the world. And I think the major change I've seen this year versus the year before is that the year before, so end 2024, our clients in the AI company and also our clients in our leadership transformation company were mostly experimenting. BCG's research in Jan or Feb 2025 revealed that at that point in time, only 4% of all companies in their database had predictable, scalable ways of turning AI into business value. 4%. Probably 90% were somewhere in experimentation stages. The rest, I don't know where they were. I'm sorry. Now, we see more and more companies who in their budgeting for 2026 already plan and budget significant productivity improvements by using AI. Yeah? So from experimentation to planned productivity budgeting in 1 year. That's the big change that I can see. And I think there is no need to be scared of it. The only people who need to be scared of AI are the ones who don't engage with it. I think the message is the learning is engage with it. Test it, try it, use it, learn about it. Yeah? Because AI does not lead people. Maybe yet. But it influences everything already now. Speed, processes, decisions. And just this morning, I saw a video from Eric Schmidt, our former Google CEO, who said that quite a number of people in San Francisco and in the Silicon Valley predict that in just 6 years from now, there may be an intelligence that really manages to get ahead of any human intelligence by being at least as intelligent as every human being on the planet combined. And while some may say, hey, they are smoking, they are dreaming, I'm not sure. I don't know. But looking at the pace of AI so far, I think it's conceivable. And I want to learn about it, because one thing for me is for sure, AI will change the way we work and live in terms of speed, processes, and decision making. And I think we as leaders should learn with AI, not against it. There is a reason why a year ago we shut down the office in summer and invested 4 days of shooting new leadership videos. They're not AI expertise videos, but the headline is Leading with AI. We included this module into course 6 of Lightwolf Academy. It's entitled Leading Strategically. Because every single year we update and upgrade our content. If you are interested in learning how to lead, Lightwolf Academy would be my recommendation. So let's lead with AI, not against it. And digital workers are already here. Right? New Now is already building them, and I can see them. And it's great to see this progress. And at least in my opinion, AI does not replace leadership, but it exposes bad leadership faster than before. At least we should see and embrace AI as a companion in the team. Yeah? Years ago, we here in our leadership company already welcomed who we call Katja Immerfroh in German. Katja Immerfroh. Katja Immerfroh being KI. Yeah? So just a funny remark for embracing AI as a team member in our team. And maybe just an honest insight into how I use AI. I remember when my friend Peter Made years ago made me aware of ChatGPT, I just used it to provide answers to my questions. So in my life, it has moved from providing answers for simple questions to discussing partner for complex problems. I'm discussing with it now. I use it as a partner. Just this morning, I was really happy when I sent a prompt and it replied, "No, Stefan, that's way too undifferentiated the way you ask. Here are three areas that we could explore this conversation into." And I went like, hallelujah. It really pauses and thinks when my prompt isn't good enough. And I love it. So in my life, this year, AI changed from providing answers to simple questions to discussing problems as partners. It changed from gathering information for parts of the solution to proposal generator to more complete solutions. So it works much more for me now. It works much more productively, much better and much faster. But never, never unreflected, never unchecked, never for questions of human judgment. These are areas where I don't trust AI yet. And I think that's necessary that we always reflect about the outputs, we always check them, we think about them. Huh? And while there is knowledge about emotions and human aspects of life, I still believe my perception is it's not yet able to really reflect humanity and emotions completely. But at the end of the day, it started being really productive for me in 2025. I'm saving several days per month with equal or better results than before large language models. And an outlook for 2026 to 2030, the next 5 years. I am already receiving questions from clients who say, "Stefan, it's great to work with your team. It's great to work with your leadership academy. It's great to listen to your podcast, but I want you on my smartphone, in the pocket. I want you as a chatbot or an avatar on my smartphone. when are you going to be there? And my response is, let's wait and see. That's going to be a lot of work. That's going to be a change of work. But let's wait and see. Now, let's turn the chapter and talk about the biggest leadership mistakes of 2025 and what you and I could do differently 26. One of them is, when triggered, stop talking rather than talking too much. One of my opportunities to develop as a person and as a leader is not allowing a triggering emotion to make me react. I've got better at it, but I can still learn. And I've had one significant client case this year on this very topic. A CEO of an international financial services business, where we support a triple-digit number of leaders in a multi-year leadership transformation, realized before a major review, a debrief with my cooperation partner and me, that in the meeting just before, he had allowed to turn a meeting into a workshop. There was a topic, a problem, and rather than just identifying the problem and delegating the solution, he himself turned the meeting into a workshop. And when people have the opportunity to work with a CEO and pick his brain and get his experience, they hardly ever say, hey, dear CEO, please stop now. Why don't you delegate this? So he invested more than an entire hour workshopping something that he should have delegated. So that's to me one thing to learn. When triggered, don't talk too much. Just delegate the solution. So much better is to break, breathe, and ask. A tool I created for self-leadership about 15 or 20 years ago. When triggered, don't allow yourself to be induced into a reaction, seduced into an emotional reaction. Better than that, pause, take a step back, breathe in order to calm down your stress levels, get more oxygen in your brain, and then ask. And rather than workshopping a meeting, delegate the solution. Then another thing I find interesting and helpful is the human bias to add. We need more sales. We need more revenue. So we add more projects. I think in many situations, this is wrong. Not always, but often. It was already wrong before COVID. When I worked in a Lightwolf program with 12 leaders, 12 top leaders of a 10,000 people organization, and they revealed in the first morning when we talked about priorities and strategy that they had 32 different strategic priorities in their company strategy. No wonder that they behaved so cynically. The solution is to do the exact opposite rather than adding more projects. It's radical simplification. And the idea I have, I call cut the crap together. Cut the crap together. And if you're interested, I offer you now half an hour of my time, free. Just come in, book a slot, let's talk. 30 minutes with me applying CTCT. Cut the crap together. So I could do a little exercise with you, maybe if you want with your team, to just remove the lowest value adding work from people's diaries. Cut the crap and reinvest the time you free up into something that's much better and adds more value. Another one I think is the need for changing a toolkit. The toolkit for change is old. The classical change management toolbox is outdated. I think we all need to learn how to deal with the new and much more unsettling form of change called reinvention. Reinvention goes beyond just adjusting processes or structures with an incremental present forward mindset. It requires rethinking how organizations create value and what their core truly is, and unleashing this true core and their true USP. It requires more dynamic, more iterative ways of working that adapt frequently and rapidly to new learning, to new information, to a new environment. And my biggest learning sources for this personal transformation are startups and Generation Z. Once a year, I spend 2 to 3 days with startups, with 30 invited EVO fellows, startup entrepreneurs, brilliant people, and then a few unicorn founders who founded their companies at zero and exited them for more than $1 billion. They know how to scale a business, right? And that environment is the one that just stretches me and helps me learn how to get more from less, how to focus on essentials. These young people have a relentless appetite to learn. They have an enormous hunger to win. And it's just a breath of fresh air for me to spend time with these terrific startups. If you no longer want a toolkit for the last century, but one for reinvention, if you want a toolkit, how to change without stressing out, then I invite you to book a free 30-minute session with me. The link is in the show notes. Looking forward to listening to you and to meeting you. So my learnings from 2025, I think the biggest one was a moment that deeply touched me and deeply humbled me in 2025. It's June 2025. 500 senior executives from all over the world, all former colleagues of mine from my years at Procter & Gamble, come to Berlin to assemble in P&G's Global Alumni Conference. And I wore 3 different hats. One, I was a member of the organizing committee, and we had spent 1.5 years preparing for this. 2, I was a sponsor, because my company was there to offer conversations on leadership, on teams, on strategy. And 3, for a few free minutes in between, I was a participant because I wanted to learn and meet good old friends. And 1.5 years prior, in the prior version in Washington, D.C. in 23, I already had the idea to bring together 2 exceptional people. 2 people who mean a lot to me personally. The first is David Taylor, my longest standing boss in the corporate world, for whom I would walk through fire. Greetings to David. And the second, Daniel Dippold, an incredible talent, Forbes 30 under 30 talent, top 30 under 30 talent, quick, visionary, full-blooded entrepreneur. Again, here, greetings to Daniel, if you listen. And my idea was, when we are in this global alumni conference with 500 senior leaders, why don't we talk about a topic that is highly relevant and almost explosive? Couldn't be more relevant than it is right now, which is redefining leadership in times of uncertainty. And for this, we brought together former P&G CEO, who is used to leading and creating consistent growth. And on the other hand, a 30-year-old tech ecosystem startup entrepreneur who is used to always be on the overtaking lane. He was used to speed and explosive growth. It was a fabulous conversation. And I think there was one key word where both of them were aligned on the definition of leadership, and that was the word trust. And I think one area where big corporates can learn from startups that was different in the way how they define leadership is speed. I remember hearing Daniel say, our startups are always on the overtaking lane. And I think that's a mindset that many corporates can learn from startups. And that David Taylor, in fact, asked me about 3 years before when we had a wonderful dinner in Geneva. He asked me, hey, Stefan, I think our company has really lost the skill to launch brands and from zero to $200 million. But what our company is great at is scaling brands from 200 million to billions of dollars. I wish we had this entrepreneurial drive of startups. I think that's the beauty of this conversation. Again, it's here in the Lightwolf podcast. If you want to go deep and listen to this conversation, it's Lightwolf episode number 480, a 45-minute chat between those two where I was blessed to lead and moderate the conversation. Brilliant. And I think one of the messages that it left with me is increase the speed of trust and the speed of learning by learning from David and learning from Daniel. That was a moment that really touched me, and maybe that was my highlight of the year 2025. Another highlight of the year 2025 and a moment that also touched me a lot is a moment where a team suddenly exploded with positive energy. It's a private equity fund. We did a good to great team productivity program. The first base measure 18 months ago was a bit below average, but they used this process and they used our engagements and the meetings we are having to turn their performance upside down, to turn their team spirit to a completely new level and their productivity. And about 4 weeks ago, I asked one of the young top middle managers in this team to share her perspective about what this program had done to her team and the team's performance. And I heard her say the following quote, Stefan, honestly, everything has become better in our team. More collaboration, more communication, less talking about each other, more talking with each other, including tough conversations, more time spent together on the real big business problems and opportunities, far better results than before. Everything has changed, unquote. Yeah, and their team health index, that's our proprietary tool, jumped from below average to top 20 in just 10 months. Yeah, really well done. And another moment that went really deep and excited me about learning is in a financial services company that we are supporting now. Year one is over, 2 more years are ahead of us, where a remarkable transformation is happening. Many of the leaders in this bank never considered leadership to be a 360 degrees concept. They were used to think that leadership only goes top down. So my boss tells me what to do, and then I execute, and I tell my team members what to do. I don't believe in this concept. I never believed in it, but I think it's much more outdated now than it ever was. Why? Because the most important person you lead is yourself. The second most important person you lead is your boss. Then you need to influence your peers left and right, no matter whether you have any authority over them. It doesn't matter. It's not about who's right. It's about what's best. And then you lead your team. So in a nutshell, many of these leaders who we are training now have never considered leading their boss. It was a completely new concept to many of them. That's why one of the courses in Lightwolf Academy is Lead Your Boss. So then we ran the training, always in groups of 10 to 15, 2 days training, followed by 18 months of online hybrid academy. And a few weeks after one of those courses, I receive an email from one of the participants. And that email says, Stefan, I just completed course 3, How to Lead Your Boss. I went through all the content twice. I printed out handout 3. And I have a question to line number 6. Here is my question. I'm just preparing my first ever conversation tomorrow where my intent is to lead my boss. Here is my question. Can you please help? And I jumped up in joy and said, yay, that's exactly the learning we want to induce. That's exactly the attitude shift we'd like to induce. That people start to see, no, leadership is not only top down. You first need to lead yourself. You need to get clear on who you are and what you want and what success means to you. And then allocate your time, define your goals, define success, and learn. And then lead your boss, exactly like this participant wrote in his email. And I responded and I said, look, do me a favor. After the conversation, please let me know the outcome. And then a few days later, I received an email saying, Stefan, it really went well. It was much simpler as a result of using your Lightwolf Leadership Academy tools, particularly this handout 3. And this line number 6. Yeah, amazing. That's exactly the kind of learning that can happen when people take it seriously, when people think, and when we try to create an environment of psychological safety where people learn. One area where I learned as an entrepreneur is to stop limiting myself. Maybe I'm still doing it, but I think I'm doing it less. I learned about scaling. I learned about focus. I learned about partnership and cooperation. I learned that the one and most promising way to cooperate with other companies is when you cooperate with partners who sell similar products to the same customers. It's much easier. We are right now developing early phases of developing a cooperation that has a lot of potential and that I'm ready and prepared to experiment and learn about for a long time. Another learning for me was how to use resources, how to use money, how to use time. And the learning is use time and money in a way so that they relieve you and don't burden you. Yeah, use time and money in a way so that they relieve you rather than burdening you. That is a profound lesson that I will think about a couple of times. Where I needed courage is recruiting 2 completely new positions to our company. We have never had a strategy and new business director. We are hiring one now. We've never had a digital operations and transformation manager. We are hiring one now. It's 2 new roles that will help unleash the full potential of my team. I myself have little competence. Me as an entrepreneur, I'm happy to take a risk and invest. But that's an area where I needed a bit of courage. I look forward now to welcoming these 2 new members in the team and then use 2026 to learn so that as of 2027, we can unleash real value. And again, I've learned dozens of times that one way, maybe it's 4 ways, how you as a leader can make work easier for your employees is these things. Number 1, strategy. Ensure you have clear strategy. Strong, simple, cascaded downwards and cascaded back upwards. Because only when it's cascaded back up to you and you're listening, then and only then, you can have a chance that your strategy gets consistently executed at every touch point. Two, high-performing teams. Teams where people are not working next to each other or with each other, but for each other. And three, consistent, strong, agile, modern, empathetic leadership all over your team, all over your company. People who reflect, people who know how to lead themselves, their boss, their peers, and their team. These are the three things. If you master those three, you will be much better prepared to master any challenge in 2026 and beyond. And the one simple tool, as offered, is cut the crap together. Created during a client project. A simple exercise that might help you and many others to get more from less, to get orientation and to enjoy work. That was looking backwards. Let's now close the call and look forwards. The perspective for 2026 I'd like to share. David Taylor, you cannot give certainty, but you can give clarity. You cannot give certainty, not even in 2026, but you can give clarity. Leadership next year is not going to become easier. It's going to become faster. It's going to become even more complex, more agile, but also more valuable than ever before. Leaders can change their personal operating model. We can create an environment of trust, of safety, and of collaboration. When we do this, change becomes a movement, a shared reinvention without stress. And the vision becomes a light that never goes out. So as we close this call today, maybe a simple Leitwolf task of the week. If you want to invest 10 minutes, sit down today, invest 10 minutes, and then decide and write down. What do I leave behind in 2025? And what do I do consciously, differently in 2026? Once you've done it, if you like it, please share your thoughts in the comments on Spotify. And if you want to make 2026 your best leadership year ever, no matter whether you are preparing to be a first-time leader or, as a message that reached me this morning, if you are a young woman preparing to become a CEO with us, or you are a middle manager, wherever you are on your leadership journey, take a look at Leitwolf Academy. In this online hybrid learning program designed for a year, you will find all those few essential tools, hacks, and tips that every leader has to master. Come in, have a look. And by the way, we are currently looking for someone to help us build the digital backbone of our leadership consultancy. As the digital operations and transformation manager, this person won't just design processes and systems. She or he will scale our impact internationally. Do you know someone who'd enjoy that? Check out the role. The link is in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this Leitwolf podcast episode today. If you did, please tap the star rating on Spotify and feel free to share this podcast with anyone you know who wants to develop themselves and others into being the leader they can and want to become. I thank you for your time, and I look forward to welcoming you again soon. Your Stefan.